Memorial Day is, of course, the unofficial start to summer. Last year's annual cowboy poetry gathering had a little bit lower than average turnout. How might that compare with this year? We visit with founder Bill Lohman. Bill, thank you so much for joining us today.
Well, thank you, Ashley.
I'm wondering how this year's event will compare with last year's. A lot of events had to get canceled last year. You were able to do this. Were there some differences last year compared with how you're able to do it this year?
Yeah, this year we're getting a lot of interest and a lot of response this year. It should be back to normal. Last year we did go through with our gathering, but the attendance, public attendance, was down, which we expected. The performers were all there and loved to doing it, but we expect a good year this year.
How much of a draw is this? How many people are you expecting?
This is our 35th annual, and we have about 30 singers and poets each year. It's really consistent. We draw several hundred. Our day sessions, both Saturday and Sunday on Memorial Day weekend, the 29th and 30th, are open to the public to no charge, free walk in, walk out as you please. And then at 1 o'clock both days, Saturday and Sunday. Then on our two night shows, Saturday and Sunday night, two different shows completely. We have professional shows at 7:30, and we charge for that. We get a pretty steady family of several hundred people. It seats about 400 in there, and we're pretty tight both nights, so it's pretty steady.
How do you construct a cowboy poem? Because this is not just any poem written by a cowboy. It is an art form unto itself.
That's a very, very good question. I appreciate that. My poems and other people, and even you read about Hank Williams Sr. or Frank Sinatra, and their songs, their best songs, came to them so fast they hardly had time to get them down. And I experienced that same thing. I never force a poem; I let it write itself. I carry a notebook and write notes off my saddle horn on my horse or my haying tractor or steering wheel. Or wake up at 2 in the morning and jot down notes. Those things write themselves. The ones, and they turn out by far the best. The ones that you labor over and try to make them perfect just never seem to work as good. So, yeah, that's a good question, but it's just a natural thing, and I never force a poem. We all of us poets have a box full of half-written poems that the idea was there and stuff, but it didn't complete itself, so you just... You don't force it. You let it, and someday maybe it'll come back to you and finish itself.
So the common themes of a cowboy poem, this grew out of that great oral tradition of telling stories on these long, hard nights after those long days. What are some of the themes that tend to show up most often? I'm thinking horses,
well,
sunsets.
Yeah, that's you're asking some very good questions. I've been with the National Cowboy Poetry Gathering in Elko, Nevada as a charter member in 1985 since it started. And the first thing that really surprised me when I went out there, we have different subcultures within our culture of cowboys. All through the weather, there's the northern family-owned ranches that we run our total business from A to Z, make all of our business decisions and stuff, and then you run into the outback buckaroos that work for big corporations that are owned somewhere else in the cities, and they're day work cowboys. And the poems, it really surprised me right off the start. We're managing time when we manage our own ranches and our own business. We're managing time, and when we write a poem about something of our life, we get in and make our point and get out in a matter of 6 or 8 stanzas, paragraphs. And then the buckaroos would go on for 10 minutes with a poem, and you'd think, well, boy, they're about done. It's a good poem, but they're about done. They'd go on for another 5 minutes. And I related that to that they're day work cowboys working for a big corporation and have no interest in the business of it. and time isn't as valuable to them. It's just another day of cowboying where we are managing time because we're managing our own business. And that was really interesting to me, and that question relates to that you asked, that the subcultures within our culture, we're managing time.
Hmm. Do you, Bill Lohman, think that you could read a poem, author unknown, and get a good sense of what type of work this poet does on a ranch or where this poet might be from?
I suppose I could. I'd never thought of that. I'm a contemporary poet. I like the old. See, the cowboy poetry really flourished in the late 1880s, 1880s, 90s, in the big, long Texas trail drives up into our country up north here for self-entertainment, to entertain a girl when they got to town, but then it died out. So I like those old poems, but I'm personally a contemporary poet. I write about what happens in my own life and in my own experiences. I'm dyslexic, and I struggled with school and with literature, but I'm an authority on my life and my happenings, and even if my poem is a little bit not metered right, or my literature isn't right, my English isn't right in it, I'm still the authority of it. No college professor can say that's wrong because they weren't there. I was. And I'm total authority of it, and I have total confidence in what I write because of that. So, yeah, I don't know if that answered your question or not, but I'm a contemporary poet. And I don't judge other people's poems because I don't want mine judged. You can't judge mine. And I'm also not in favor of some of the poetry gatherings around the country have started a competition, and the national gathering and my gathering in Medora, I'm proud to say it's not a competition. It's a sharing of a tradition, and there's no way you can judge it because everybody's different and everybody's talking about their lifestyle and what they've done, and nobody else was there to judge it. So that's where I come from on that. I'm a contemporary poet, and I refuse to be judged or judge other people's poems.
Where do you see the future of the art of cowboy poetry going?
You are really good with questions. I've sat on a board or two and a committee or two in the national gathering at Elko, and the first thing that came to mind with them was there's no young people following this tradition, and they were afraid of a demise of the thing in the near future. And I was always quick to bring up at our local regional gathering at Medora, North Dakota, we get 35 to 65-year-old rookies, I will say, every year. Their first time on stage, their first time with their poems or songs. And my take is on this, that when you're in your prime of life and youth and stuff, when you're cutting a wide swath, you're making history. You could care less about recording it. And as you get middle-aged and on, then it becomes more important to you to preserve that history, so you start writing it down. We're an oral tradition to begin with. So, yeah, my take is on it, as you get older, you will become a singer and a poet and want to record it. So they were pretty pleased with that. It put their mind at ease a little on that.
I noticed one of the events happening, and again, the 35th Annual Dakota Cowboy Poetry Gathering is happening Memorial Day weekend in Medora. We are visiting with founder and organizer of the event, Bill Lohman. One of the events on Sunday morning is the Cowboy Gospel Singing Round Robin. What's it like to be in the room when this happens?
That's really gotten popular, and it's this walk-in. We pass a hat for a donation, but we didn't know what to do with that. Each day, Saturday and Sunday, we start at 1 o'clock, and we didn't know what to do with Sunday morning. And half of them had partied through the night and were hungover, and another half wanted to go to church. So we started a cowboy gospel singing, and it's not church, it's not preaching, it's this beautiful cowboy gospel songs. And it's a round robin. Anybody that wants to participate can will be called up by the MC and do a couple. And if there's time they can come back and do a few more if everybody else is through. And it's really packed them in. It's really a popular event.
Yeah. How far away are some of these performers coming from?
We traditionally get about seven states and Canada, which, again, we've discussed, they got shut off again this year.
Yeah.
But we get about seven states, anywhere from Iowa to Iowa, Nebraska, Colorado, Washington. Oregon is coming in again this year. We get 7 to 10 states a year.
Hmm. You mentioned, Bill, that you are dyslexic. How long did you have dyslexia before it was noticed?
I'm in my 70s right now and ranched all my life, and I was in my 40s before they gave me credit of having dyslexia. I hated school. I struggled with school. I had to memorize everything to get through school. I stayed in school in high school because I loved my sports. I was good in athletics, and that's what kept me in school. Back then, they come up with a No Child Left Behind program since then, and I was slow child left behind back then. You were just slow.
But I would imagine, is it fair to say that work in memorization really helped the form of art that you do?
Exactly. That's exactly right. I can get up and recite off the top of my head from memory because of that, because I had to develop a good memory to get by in life.
Hmm. Do you want to do one right now?
If you would want.
Yeah.
Want me to, I sure would.
How about a nice short one of your favorites?
Well, I've got one I wrote. This kind of goes back to what we're talking about. I'm the youngest of four. I have an older sister and two older brothers, and we grew up rough and reckless in the Badlands of western North Dakota, up out of Medora and Sentinel Butte, and we didn't have a telephone until I was in my mid-20s. We didn't have electricity till then. We mined our own coal in the creek below the barn, and this one I wrote kind of is a summation of that. It's called My Brothers and I. We grew up in the 50s and 60s, strong, rough, reckless, and sleek. We'd pick a fight with a blue northern most any day of the week. We made a habit of teasing the vultures and cheating the undertaker out of his pay. We busted our tails all day in the sun, but when night fell, we'd go out to play. We judged a girl by the distance between her hind pockets. Miller, Ole, and Bud were our friends. Dad gave us no slack the next mornings. Day's work started when daylight begins. But when the weekends come, we'd be at it again, out on the rodeo trail. In the rough stocks events, we competed, and with luck, have a check in the mail. We hand-dug and hand-set railroad ties by the hundreds, score after score, and pitched hay all day in the grueling hot sun, till every muscle we owned was sore. We dug water lines in with our shovels that measured in miles, not feet, and mined lignite from Wanigan's creek banks for a winter's supply of heat. We drew short straw to shut down the Jacobs behind the house on the point of a bluff at midnight with lightning snapping our britches, never once thinking our lives were rough. We started colts and took in rank horses that others had tried and give up. We never allowed ourselves to be beaten and lived as carefree as our border collie pup. We wrestled and heeled calves at the Brannings, chopped ice and fed cows at 40 below. Now at 70, I can't figure out why my joints hurt. I'm stooped over and slow while others are still young at 80, yet limber and handing out smiles. I've come to this deep thought conclusion. It ain't the years, but all the hard miles, my brothers and I. That's a pretty good summation.
Yeah, Bill, that was so beautiful. Thank you for sharing that.
But that's recording history from our past, and I didn't write that till I was older, because back then when we were doing it, we could care less about getting it done.
You had to get a lot of stuff done. Bill Lohman is the founder and organizer of the Dakota Cowboy Poetry Gathering. It is coming up this weekend in Medora. Bill, thank you so much for your time today.
Well, thank you very much.